everybody, it's Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com, and welcome to the Chicago Jazz Audio Experience. It is a pleasure to have on the phone today Jane Bennett from, of course, Jane Bennett and Makeke. They are coming back to Chicago December 5th through the 8th at the Jazz Showcase. Of course, that is 806 South Plymouth Court here in Chicago. And by the way, the first time I met Jane was the first time they played the Chicago Jazz Festival, and I saw, 30,000 people dancing in the aisles over there, and It's only gotten better, and they are on a tour. They are Grammy nominated. They have all sorts of things happening. We're going to talk to Jane about everything, but first off, Jane, glad you're coming back to Chicago, and the fact that everybody can see you in a small, intimate space like the Jazz Showcase is going to be something that nobody should miss.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to being back there. We love playing there. It's really, really fun, and it feels like family, you know, like I know this. We know all the staff, and we're always, like, so welcome when we walk in the door, and we're going to have a great week. It's going to be terrific.
Now you've got the new recording on Firm Ground, Tierra Firme, and I'm sure I probably said it incorrectly.
So perfectly.
All right. Hot damn, I'm on a hot streak here already. So...
Yeah, Mike.
So let's talk a little bit about this new recording. Maybe we could talk a little bit, you know, background-wise on the band. Now, I know this, you know, this has been something that you have been pursuing and working unbelievably diligently to have happen, because there's a lot of different things that have to go into creating an all-female Afro-Cuban band with the majority of the players from Cuba. So let's just talk a little bit about the background and how this thought process came about in your mind to put a band like this together.
Right. Well, I guess it's now we're just in our fifth year, and Larry and I pretty much for like 35 years had a group together that Larry plays in. She's trumpet player, producer, called Spirits of Havana. And we have had like so many young Cuban guys come through that group that have gone on to, you know, illustrious careers of their own, from Daphne Prieto, Francisco Mella, Pedrito Martinez, Hilario Duran, David Vareles, Elio Villafranca. It's a long, long list of guys, all been guys. I have pretty much always been the only woman in, not only in Spirits of Havana, but in all the other groups that Larry and I have assembled. Mm-hmm. And during my trips to Cuba and often, you know, visiting the conservatories, I just kept meeting so many young women that get a good 15 years of musical training. They start the students when they're 8 years old in the conservatory programs, and there are being 25 conservatories in Cuba. So it's a highly organized musical education they get. Of course, Cubans love their music. The sustenance of people's lives there, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I kept meeting these young women in the schools, and then when I would be out in the evenings or out at a concert, sometimes performing myself, sometimes at a jam session, I would see them sitting on the sidelines, and they were not participating. Even sometimes if they did have their instrument, which often they didn't, but if I saw a young woman with her saxophone case, I'd say, come on up. Come on out with me and play, and they would totally be hesitant and would withdraw from the offer. I could not get them up.
Huh.
And they were happy, you know, to watch their boyfriends play up there with me, or husbands, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, okay, you know what, maybe now's the time that I try and do this. I felt like doing something a little different, a project, a new kind of thing. And I thought, well, this might be the one to do it. So I had met this wonderful young singer at a jam session, Dainia Rosena, who's now signed with Brownswood Records and doing very, very well. It's a British label, Giles Peterson. And so I had brought her to Toronto to do a fundraiser with me, and she was just a wonderful performer. She was 17, turned 18. And I said, listen, I'm thinking of coming down to Cuba and putting together an all female ensemble. You want to help me do it? And that's what I did. So I went down and I quietly kind of checked out various young women that I saw playing. Some of them were actually, Dimey actually videotaped a few of them on her cell phone for me to look at that I couldn't reach out to. And I assembled this group called Makeke, and we proceeded to, you know, start a few rehearsals, which were very disastrous because of electrical problems in Cuba. We would take a rehearsal hall and all the electricity would go off and we would sit there in the dark for like 4 or 5 hours. And
is that because they're having like rolling brownouts down there and stuff, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah. It was quite disastrous. Anyway, we ended up spending a lot of time actually in the recording studio rehearsing when we should have been recording. Mm-hmm. But make a long story short, we made this recording, and when I brought it back and did all the mix and everything, I put it in the Juno nominations to see if I could get it nominated. And lo and behold, it got nominated for a Juno and won.
Wow.
That was 2015. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe I'm onto something. So we then brought the group from Cuba to tour Canada, do a few dates. And that went pretty well. And then I proceeded to petition, as I had for Spirits of Havana, to enter the U.S. And that took about a year to organize that. And it got approved by the State Department. And we did our first tour in 2016 of the USA. We did some West Coast dates. We did some East Coast dates. We were pretty much still in our very, you know, early stages of performing. Musicians all really at different levels. I did a lot of the writing for that first record, Makeke. And Dimey had some compositions on it, too. And it went really, really well. And then we proceeded to do our second CD, which was Odara, the following year, 2016-17. Mm-hmm. And it ended up receiving a Grammy nomination last year.
Wow.
And I was very proud of that record because a few of the girls started to write a bit more for the group as we improved as an ensemble. People stepped up to the plate to compose. And now we have just finished, just as of last, I guess it's been not quite a month, On Firm Ground, where everybody is now writing for the group and has I have like 3-4 compositions on it. Our pianist, Dinah Olano, has 3 compositions, and the rest of the girls all have compositions on the CD. So I'm very excited about this new CD. It's got Sacred Steel player from Toledo, Ohio. She's been called the Jimi Hendrix of Sacred Steel. She's very incredible, wonderful singer, Sacred Steel player, which is looks like a pedal steel, but it's a little different, mm-hmm. and it's known for its involvement in church music, so, you know, in services. And Nikki Brown is kind of like a secret. She's a secret artist, but it's not going to take long before everybody knows about Nikki because she's just an incredible performer. So yeah. She's on the new CD too.
Well, so just kind of, I mean, there's so much information there, and I'm trying not to go down the wormhole so we talk for 2 hours because I absolutely could, but
yeah,
just a couple things. I mean, first off, when you got the group together and you're bringing the ladies up from Cuba, I mean, that's probably the first time most of them ever left Cuba, right? So that had to be something in itself just to be able to do that. And then that first tour you ended up doing with them, that must have been when you came through Chicago too, right? On the Chicago Jazz.
Yes, it was.
2016. So, I mean, for the fact that the ladies are on tour with you, who's like really well known to begin with anyways, and then you're playing in front of all these different places, they're touring all across the country, and they're able to play like the Chicago Jazz Fest and other jazz festivals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was that like for them? I mean, you're watching them because you're used to doing stuff like that, but they're not, and they're probably like, oh my God. So
Well, you know what? It's funny because they're kind of like no flies on me.
Really?
I kind of watch from the side going, wow, if I was them, this would be totally blowing me away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm much more, you know, self-conscious of that kind of thing. And it's taken, you know, it's taken me many years to be playing in front of like 15,000 people. You know, I've been at this for almost 40-something years.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of step aside when they're playing, and they're just like, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's quite unusual. You know, they're trained, you know, like I said, from an early age, They start when they're like 8 years old. So I didn't really get into jazz until I was in my very, very late teens. And I didn't pick up a saxophone until I was 21.
Oh, wow.
So these girls, when I started this group, these girls were like 21 years of age. And so they've already got, you know, a good 15 years of playing on them. They're very comfortable doing public performances. I have to say, when we played Bogota, Colombia, and they were pretty blown away by that. We had probably 30,000 people in the audience, and all of us really felt like rock stars when we got off that stage, because the audience in Colombia was very informed. You know, they were clapping after bass solos, Mike.
Oh, my God, they weren't talking.
That was incredible. Clapping after bass solos and hooting and hollering. And so that was very exciting for all of us. But generally, you know, the thing that happens with the girls, you know, when they get on stage, there's been a huge amount of sacrifices that get us from A to B. We spend a lot of time in the house here when they come, when I bring them from Cuba, Larry and I bring them from Cuba. They come to Toronto because there's no U.S. embassy now in Havana. Mm-hmm. And so they have to come to Toronto to get their U.S. visa. So they come here after the petition has been approved. We're in the house. Everyone's living here. We're cooking, drinking beer, whatever we have to do to get through the day, waiting for our visas, but we're also rehearsing. So there's a great deal of time that's spent here in Toronto. They're not in Cuba. They're not in their own environment. They're not with their friends. They're not with their family. They're here. They're living under our roof. So, I mean, we're like a family, but it's still not their home. Mm-hmm. So we make these sacrifices. So when we get to a stage, we're all pretty pumped, because we know what it's taken for us to get from 26th Soror in Toronto, Havana, 26th Soror in Toronto, to get to somewhere in the U.S. to perform. And it's been a lot of work. And when we get on stage, the group is generally pretty pumped to show what they can do. So there's a very strong, enthusiasm when the group hits the stage. And they just take it all in stride. It's pretty interesting.
Well, I know that you can feel the energy when they hit the stage. I mean, even when I saw you guys last time, you came through town at the Jazz Showcase, and I don't know how many dates you had done before that, and you're getting in town, and then you played Thursday, Friday. I think I might have seen you on a Saturday. I mean, you know, sometimes you might get a little burned out because the music you're playing is like so grooving most of the time and energetic that, you know, to keep that level of energy up. But I mean, when they hit the stage and their smiles start happening and they start grooving, I mean, it's just like, it's infectious. And it must be something that they, you know, just obviously have ingrained in their system, but they just love it. And you can tell that they love it. We can tell you love it. And, you know, getting into all that. Now, how many of the original members are still in the group? Is there, I mean, not that you've been together for 50
yeah.
years or something.
No,
but
it's
I'm
true.
Sure there's fluctuations.
Yes, there has been some changes. Our bass player has now been in the group, two and a half years. She comes from Juanes, Cuba, Taylor Marrero. She actually graduated ESA, which is the top music university in Cuba, on classical guitar. But she was also playing bass too, electric bass and starting on double bass. And she was trying to play all three, and it was really giving havoc to her fingers. And in the end, when she finished her graduation on guitar, she decided to focus on the bass. And she also sings. And so she's the newest member in the group. Mary Paz, who's our percussionist, she's pretty incredible. She's not a graduate of the conservatory, but she is was mentored by Oscar Valdez, who is the percussionist in Irakere, and one of the legendary, great room barrels of Cuba. And as a young girl, he took her under his wing, and that's very, you know, unusual in a macho society like Cuba.
Oh, yeah.
that would happen. But he recognized what a talent she was. So she is, she's been in the group, I guess, about 2.5 years, almost three. Dinah Olano is the original pianist, and she is just, from where she was when she started in McKechnie to how she is now, she's just, has just formed into just a tremendous jazz pianist and arranger and composer. So she's original member. Jissy Garcia is our original drummer, who's just a fireball, just incredible. And so those are the original members, and then me, and then Nikki, who we will have up there on Sacred Steel and vocals. So the rest of the band, four of the girls all sing. So we have, you know, these vocal harmonies going through all the music. It's sort of like, I almost look at it as like a string section that we work with, sort of, you know, putting the foundation down of the tunes, and then all the other stuff that we layer over top.
Well, yeah, it's such a gigantic sound, and to be able to hear it in an intimate room like the Jazz Showcase, of course, December 5th through the 8th, 2019, here in Chicago, 806 South Plymouth Court. Of course, the shows are 8 p.m. and 10 p.m., Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and of course, with the 4 p.m. Save the Children Joe Siegel matinee on Sunday afternoons, yeah, which is always great. So all the information and tickets, I would get advanced tickets because those weekend shows especially really get packed. So it's jazzshowcase.com. And of course, to get the new recording, Jane Bennett and Makeke on Firm Ground, Tierra Firme. I hope I keep saying that correctly.
You are.
JaneBennett.com. And Jane, when you come in town, we've got to sit down. I really want to talk more about this, the entire group, because, you know, as a drummer, percussionist myself, I mean, there's so many different layers that are happening within each tune in order to create such a gigantic foundation. You get to play over the top of it, which has to be like, you know, playing over like a freight train probably sometimes.
Sometimes it is. You better believe it.
Oh, man. But, you know, I think as you've been talking, and it makes total sense that, you know, the amount of time that the band is together, whether you're touring or just kind of hanging out waiting for visas, that's got to help with this kind of music. I mean, this, to play this music is really outside of all the technical stuff. I mean, you've got to feel it, and everybody has to be feeling it in the same way in order to really take it to another level, which you guys do. So that's got to play a big role just in creating, composing, and keeping the band moving forward with this music and not just kind of grooving on the same thing, because you guys continuously keep building. But I think that just comes from everybody having a like mind and being around each other all the time, right?
I, you know, you really hit the nail. It's really true. We spend a lot of time together, and what feels sometimes like a hardship and is extremely difficult, because, you know, you lose your privacy and all those things when the house is just, you know, got people running up and down the stairs and the craziness. But then you go, you know, at the same time, we benefit by the very tight nucleus that we have become as a family. And so, it, you know, sometimes you just can't have everything every way, right? And that has bonded us, you know, when things go bad, and it's all, and they do when you go on the road, you know, shit happens, as they say, and you got to really stick together, and you got to have a teamwork and people that you know, can help each other out, and I think we're really like that now. Everybody is a very harmonious, you know, we just hope that that stays like that, but it's a very harmonious group of people. So it's really been great.
Well, and it's interesting too, because, you know, the way I think about it is that, you know, these days, I mean, I talk to a lot of musicians from all over the country doing the podcast and the digital magazine and everything like that. And it's so hard to keep a band working and together, especially like coming from the States. And if you're going to do a tour, you do a 6, 7, 8 city tour, and then you go back and everybody plays in their own groups and does whatever. Whether you guys like it or not, sometimes you're not touring, but you're together regardless. So it's almost like you've got, you know, ideally you guys would be playing all the time, but it's almost like you guys have that thing that doesn't normally happen in 2019, where you guys are together perhaps for like 2 or 3 months at a time sometimes.
It's true.
Together, you know.
Yeah, you got to like each other, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to make friends real fast.
So I'm assuming everyone, when they come to the Jazz Showcase December 5th through the 8th, will hear a whole list of tunes from the old albums, the brand new album, and probably a lot of other things in between. Is there anything preview wise that we can tell people?
I'm also I think we're going to throw in a few Christmas things too.
Ah, okay. All right.
A little bit of that, a little bit of Cuban Christmas.
Well, that's going to be pretty interesting then, because I'll tell
you. Yeah, we're going to be rehearsing next week, that stuff. So,
well, that'll be cool. So, all right, so December 5th through the 8th, when you are in town, you and I will have to get together, and hopefully we can talk, because I'd love to do some background and some deeper stuff on the group and everything, like we talked about. Maybe we even do a little video interview or something, so we'll figure that out. But
that'd be great. Thank you, Mike.
Everyone listening to the podcast and reading some of this transcript here on ChicagoJazz.com, Chicago Jazz Magazine, JazzShowcase.com, Jane Bennett and McKay K, December 5th through the 8th at the Jazz Showcase. Hopefully Jane will see you there, and hopefully I will see you there. And if we don't see you there, hopefully we will see you somewhere out on the scene.